In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Happy Gaudet Sunday to you all. Though we don't typically run around saying that, we do acknowledge its English translation, which is rejoice. So the third Sunday of Advent is Rejoice Sunday, and it is symbolized by the lighting of the pink candle, representing nothing less than pure joy. How in the world, one might ponder, is being called a brood of vipers, being told the axe just can't wait to chomp, and being threatened by something called a winnowing hook, an unquenchable fire. How in the world is this message a cause for joy? They just don't seem to mix, right? On this Rejoice Sunday, it is pretty hard to make sense of the good, joy-filled news without considering all of the other readings. This is because our cause for joy is all caught up in God's promises that we hear in Zephaniah, Isaiah, and Philippians. More on Philippians later, so hold that. In Zephaniah, we hear, "Sing, rejoice with all your heart." Why? Because the Lord is in our midst. On top of that, God has taken away all judgments and renews us in God's love. No need to let fear overtake you or shame consume you. From the song of Isaiah, we hear it again, rejoice. Why? Because it is God who saves us, not our own self-sufficiency, even though it sure feels like that much of the time. And the only response to such wonderful knowledge and faith is to rejoice and sing. Right? Thank you, 10 o'clock. But right up against the symbolism of our pink joy candle and the insistence that we rejoice is our slithering snake pit, my personal favorite. We, in this time and place, typically associate the poor snake with a disguise for Satan and for pure evil. So are we straight up being called children of Satan? Notwithstanding all of our shortcomings, which are many, no doubt, we should fear not. For in other times and other cultures, the serpent also represents fertility. Yes, the snake or serpent can be a powerful symbol of rebirth, transformation, immortality, and healing. So try not to be too reactive to John's seemingly rude name calling. For we can clearly see that being a brood of vipers also offers great opportunity and possibility. Living into a joyful life, even in the midst of our messy humanness, cannot be made manifest without heeding John the Baptist's demand. Dreaded repentance is necessary to a life of joy. We are more accustomed to hearing this during Lent, not as we are busily, and maybe even happily, preparing for Christmas. But the command to repent is really quite beautiful, a true preparation of the heart and mind to receive the gifts God has promised. We are invited to carefully polish our mirrors and take a long, close look into the snake pit of our lives into our whole selves. What in 12-step spirituality is identified as taking a fearless inventory of our lives, our actions, inactions, distorted beliefs, damaging behaviors, less than ideal treatment of others, our poor stewardship of resources. Note the word fearless. Like the prophet Zephaniah says, God is right there with us as we practice repentance. No need for fear, hiding, guilt, or shame. By the grace of God, our serpents have the capacity to shed those unwanted, worn-out skins. Welcome the fall of the axe. What will be chopped in us is that which we acknowledge and deeply desire to be removed, be it self-indulgence, greed, hubris, self-centeredness, codependency, addiction. Welcome the burning of the chaff. It will consume those things about our lives that we almost secretly know to be unwise, unhealthy, that would be me in smoking, disruptive, those things that separate us from God and from each other and stunt our growth. Welcome the winnowing hook, for it will realign us with God's purposes. The kind of joy that we speak of on Rejoice Sunday is not mere frivolity and merrymaking, though that is a good and holy thing too. Party on, St. Cross. C.S. Lewis speaks of joy as an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. Now that takes a while, maybe even a lifetime, to digest. Paraphrasing Mr. Lewis, he says, joy is a technical term and must be sharply distinguished both from happiness and pleasure. Joy has indeed one characteristic and one only in common with them, the fact that anyone who has experienced it will want it again. We can perhaps get a sense of that, what he is talking about, in the midst of a glorious winter sunset, or being lost in our imagination or contemplation. Joy that speaks of a deep longing of the soul, a yearning for connection that extends beyond our brains and egos. Joy that is filled in trust in God, that leaves us open and vulnerable. Joy that paves the way for the miracle of release from any form of bondage, ushering in change and healing. This kind of joy is God's gracious gift of repentance that opens us up to a radical change in perspective. So what we do afterwards, after a radical change of perspective, profoundly matters. In fact, what we do with our changed perspective continues to shape our character. What we do can also impact the lives of those we live with, those we encounter at work, on our walk, or in the grocery store. As John the Baptist reminds us, it matters how we view and use our wealth, how we conduct our business dealings, how generously we share, how we treat each other, especially the strangers and those that we set aside as less than in this society. What we do is far-reaching and has the capacity to change lives and bring healing, bring God's kingdom into the world here, now. There is one more reading assigned for today that we did not get a chance to read. It was from Paul's letters to the Philippians. Whether you are a fan of the Apostle Paul or not, and I know that there are many who are not, this reading sums up all of our hope, all our Advent expectation, and all our joy. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness, which has been translated as generosity, Christ-likeness, consideration of others, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May it be so for each and every one of us this Gaudete Sunday and forevermore. Amen."